You're listening to Comedy Central.
Welcome to episode 43 of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
It's either my way or the surface streets. That's right. My way is the highway. That's why it has so many fatal accidents.
Welcome back, you know? It's the show where Anthony and I, friends for 22 years now, try to make it to year 23 with the help of our recalcitrant producer, Erica Tamposi.
Recalcitrant. That's very nice. I'm a little...
Is that nice? That just means like you're fighting against
it's
authority.
Just nice to use a word like that for no reason.
I don't know why you need to be nice to me 1 week and then pick on me the next.
Erica's That's not picking on you either. I think it's just accurate, and it is nice.
Erica's got a bit of a head cold, so we're all a little bit upset that she's here. don't want to catch that for sure. She doesn't sound great. She looks like she would rather be anywhere else. But it's going to be a good show. We got here tonight. Greg and I got here before Erica, and could not get in the door. This studio they built for... all the podcasting in Comedy Central was state of the art when they put it together, and now it is slowly falling apart, where the door does not open. It took us minutes, a janitor to help us. We had to like jimmy it open. There's just something wrong with the knob, and I know there's like three podcasts in here, so no one cares, and they just figure out each time. But like, get that door fixed. If I came all this way on a Tuesday night and then could not get into the room because you guys didn't get the door fixed, I would have lost it.
You live three blocks away.
I know. But I don't want to come here. I don't want to come here and have the doorknob not working be the thing that... If I come here and they're like, sorry, there was a bomb threat, you can't get in, I'm not mad at the network. But when they can't get a doorknob fixed, and like my earphone plug is like messed up. It's like I'm using my little brother's Walkman or something. That I'm just like, why are things like this? Like, and I don't know why people don't complain. They keep messing with the studio, but when we get here, we've got to fix all different kinds of stuff. Erica's running around, checking levels. Get a professional team in here and make sure that this works when we show up. We are the crown jewel of the Comedy Central podcast empire. And I expect, I don't want a special treatment, but I want regular treatment. And I'm still just like thinking about how mad I was getting trying to open that goddamn door.
Elevators don't work in this building either.
You mentioned Erica came in here in a mood, but when I met you at your apartment today, you had just woken up, I believe, from a nap. You seemed to be in a little bit of a mood.
I took a nap. I was in a good mood until I got here, and then I had to screw around with all this stuff when we're already taping it late. And again, the only way to, I don't know if I'm talking to Jeremy right now or Jordy or anyone at Comedy Central, get your stuff fixed. Like, get it fixed. Have someone come in and fix the doorknob. Like, that's not technical. That's nothing. That's like, you can't get into this room unless you take 20 minutes to jimmy with that door. Fix it.
Couldn't you,
before next week.
Sure. You could send an email instead of using the first 3 minutes of the show.
Because I don't, Jeremy could be like, that's not my job. I'll kick it up to someone else. If I say it in the email, everyone hears it and they will know. I want to spend the season praising Comedy Central. I don't want to be talking about them like I was last season. And we're not off to a great start, but it's getting there. I'm in a good mood. Good Talk episode 2 premiered this past week. One of my favorite episodes of the six with Kristen Shaw. It was a lot of fun. We kind of gave it back and forth to each other. We had a great time.
She's awesome.
She's a good friend. And it was funny. People were trying to guess if she was the difficult episode, and not at all.
Nor will I tell someone when
it is the difficult episode.
Now you want someone to give it back to you.
Of course. Of course. That's why it was so great. Nick just kind of like laughed at everything, whereas she was really giving it back. And the episode that's coming up that I talk about as the difficult episode, it's difficult because of me. Like, it's not the guest's fault. It's my fault. So that episode will come up, and I probably will not tell you. But we got the ratings in for the premiere.
Ooh.
And they sent me this big long package of like all these numbers, and they were like, please don't talk about this on the podcast, as if I understood a word of it. Like, that you may as well have written me something in Arabic and been like, don't read this on the air. Like, I couldn't if I wanted to more than anything. Ratings were good. I cannot give you numbers. I don't understand the numbers. But the show is a success out of the gate. And I hope that the more people watch it and the more people see the different guests and how each episode's a little bit different, that people will appreciate the show more and more. This week, we have the incomparable David Spade.
Mm.
So we've had Nick Kroll, Kristen Schaal, and now David Spade.
And we're releasing the audio, some of it at least, on our podcast feed. So
actually, pretty much all of the audio that got released to you on Friday, I hope people got to listen to Good Talk. I kind of followed the iTunes thing. Some people listened to it, some people didn't. I assume they already watched it. But enjoy that free podcast we're giving you that we are not getting paid for. But it's just, you know, a promotional thing. And eventually we'll live in its own thing. But for now, it's just in JRVP. And I will get that figured out as soon as I take care of this doorknob. other than that, kind of a chill week. We got some, blowback from the NFL this week, finally. And you would think that, like, of all the trash I've talked about Roger Goodell and CTE and the dangers of the game, that somebody would have said something. No. Greg, what did we get in trouble for?
Well, I did hear some feedback about the Jeremy Renner concert, which we talked about last week in the most glowing tones and terms possible. I mean, we conveyed what an incredible concert it was, what a great value it was for all the sponsors and the employees that, you know, got a chance to go. But I did hear from a boss and a couple other people that were upset because they hadn't heard about the Renner concert and that they didn't get the invite. And then people up on high at the NFL are saying, you know, that was supposed to be more of a private thing. Now people are complaining. We didn't get any Renner. You guys got Renner. How come, you know, Greg got to go, but we didn't? We're much higher up. It's a whole thing.
Is it true or is it not true that one of your bosses asked for my signed Jeremy Renner guitar? That he was like, Anthony should give me the guitar since he went to the concert and I didn't.
People at the NFL think they can just take anything. They're kind of like used to it as like the number one sports league and just like throwing their weight around, and they don't understand, like, why does a comedian get Renner's guitar? I mean, but I don't know if he really expected it, but he just figured it can't hurt to ask.
I mean, there were like 10, 12, you know, Jeremy Renner signed guitars in that green room. Erica got one. I got one. Greg, you got one. I don't understand why they would ever think that they could take mine. Like, they could take one of yours. But you think I'm going to, like, drive down to Culver City and give somebody my guitar?
Well, I didn't even tell anyone I got one because I didn't want people fighting over it.
That's probably smart.
Yeah.
You know, I just couldn't keep my mouth shut. I was just too excited about having something that on my back. You know, it was good. But, yeah, we hurt some feelings. It's like if you go to a birthday party, you know, and, like, the day before I'm like, oh, Greg, are you coming to Erica's birthday party? And he's like, what? Like, you just don't talk about things you get invited to, especially when they're a lot of fun. Like the Renner concert was, I think people just got jealous, but it was in bad taste for us to talk about it. I assumed that everyone knew, and everyone who wanted to go got to go. I didn't realize
no.
It was like,
I mean, it's a smaller venue because, you know, Renner likes to play like sometimes it's like the outdoor bar type of venue.
He wants to see the crowd,
right? But in general, he's not going to be playing to arenas, not yet. He only has 5 songs. So it's a smaller, it's more exclusive.
Yeah, he's in like a gem situation right now where, like, he could do an arena, but he's only playing the one song and then everyone's happy for some reason.
What is, for our younger listeners, what is a gem situation?
Gem was a cartoon. It was kind of like Barbie, only she sang, and the Misfits were their main rival, and they would have giant concerts in these huge, huge coliseums. And they would play one song.
I can't believe you expected anyone to remember that. Although now that you say it, I do remember her hit song, Jem, she was truly outraged. I can't.
Outrage is contagious.
Jem is her name.
No one else is the same. Jem. I had a lot of sisters, okay?
Yeah.
If you had a lot of sisters growing up, you know your gem, all right? I know my gem, okay? And Jeremy Renner's not going to a gem situation. He's going to build up the catalog and then launch it. So a little bit of that. Greg has a birthday coming up for his daughter.
Yeah, speaking of birthdays, Ellis, your goddaughter. I was going to put you on the spot on this podcast.
September 21st.
See if you remembered, but you brought it up while we were getting dinner before the show. So, like a good godfather would, You're on top of it.
I'm excited to get her things because now she's at the point where she asks me for things. And I used to spend insane amounts of money on things that she didn't care about. And now I spend very little money on things she cares a lot about.
Right. It doesn't – the main thing she wants for her birthday, which we're getting, is a turtle, which is very easy to get. But it's cool the spot you own with my kids that they just think of you as the guy that delivers things. The other week, Walker, my four-year-old son, was out in the yard, and he asked my wife, Emeka, he's like, Mommy, can you ask Anthony to buy us some more plants? We need plants.
Mm-hmm.
And like, Anthony is the person, clearly Dad doesn't have his shit together, you know, we gotta ask Anthony to go buy some plants for us.
I can't wait till they start calling me Uncle Moneybags, and I just show up with like a monocle, and like a bag of money with like a money sign on it. In a convertible, and just throw it at them.
We should talk after the show. Maybe you should come over on Saturday or something. Who knows? We might be going to Build-A-Bear. I mean, it's a whole thing.
I could definitely be down to help celebrate the birthday, but just talk to her and ask her what she wants from me. Because I remember last year she wanted a Hatchimal, and she drew the Hatchimals that I'd got her in the past, and then crossed them out. And then drew the Hatchimal she wanted and circled it, letting me know that I had failed her in birthdays past. So yeah, I'm looking forward to her birthday, and I gotta find Walker something. I can't just show up and give Ella something without having a little thing for Walker. So maybe like a plant.
It's a rookie mistake. He loves plants.
Maybe a succulent. A little shout out for the Fire and the Maternity Ward listeners. And lastly, just about the week, I just want to talk about this real quick. It's a podcast. It's a comedy podcast. We talk about whatever we want. Sometimes we take chances, but sometimes we just hang out and have fun. And this week, Erica, myself, and Greg all went down to Chinatown here in Los Angeles and went and had lunch. It was a really good lunch. All the food was delicious. The service could not have been better. We had a waiter, waitress, bar back, and they all were very nice, very helpful, telling us like where we should go afterwards and what were fun things to do and drink. Great recommending things on the menu. I just enjoy, I enjoy Chinese culture and, I enjoy Chinese food even more. And whenever you get a chance to get down to Chinatown, I highly recommend it. Anything you want to add, Greg?
No, I totally agree. I love dim sum. It's one of the great things about living in LA is going to Chinatown.
Mm-hmm. You get to eat food from all different cultures, and it's always great because, you get the authentic food, which you go to Chinatown, you can just kind of point at something on the menu, and it's absolutely delicious. So we love comedy, we love pushing boundaries, and we love Chinese food. So that was how was the week, and now it's time for
ad copy.
All right, we got an ad this week here at JRVP. We just can't get enough of a good story. That's why we're excited to share with you a new daily sports podcast from the Wondery and the Athletic. That you're going to want to listen to. It's called The Lead, and it's for every type of sports fan who wants to go beyond the box score. Every weekday morning, The Lead will bring you one big story from the Athletic's all-star team of local and national sports reporters. Some stories will take a fresh take on a major news event, and other episodes will feature an in-depth look into what's been happening off the field, kind of like what we do.
They say to use your own voice. I feel like this is not really your voice that you're using.
Whose voice would you say it is?
I mean, it's technically your voice, but you're just kind of reading. You're not bringing that Jeselnik type sizzle.
You're sabotaging the ad.
I am not. I'm just making a point. I love the Athletic.
I wish you were talking a different voice than your own.
I am a subscriber. I wish I had a different voice. It's one of the reasons.
Us too.
I can't listen to this podcast, at least and enjoy it as much as I should. I will enjoy The Lead, the podcast from The Athletic. I'm a subscriber of The Athletic. I think they're changing the game. They've gotten so much better over the last couple of years. So many of the best writers for the NFL and really every sport works for The Lead. The Lead is hosted by sports writer Kavitha Davidson and Anders Kelto. They'll take you close to the story through comprehensive reporting, fascinating clips, and exclusive interviews. Go subscribe to The Lead on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening to this right now.
The Lead. And that was
ad copy.
Okay. What's up next, Greg?
It's a little time for Did We Get Any Notes? Your favorite part of the show.
Did we get any notes? I mean, yes, technically I got a note just saying don't talk about the ratings. And I was like, I don't. I don't do that. I don't understand ratings. I'm not sure. I know everyone seems happy with it. But I think that as you, you know, as you go through the six episodes, we've done two already, that it's not a marathon. It's not a sprint. I'm sorry. It's a marathon, but I'm sprinting through the marathon. Like if you saw me at the marathon, you'd be like, that guy's definitely on drugs. and we're going to test him as soon as he finishes the race. But while he's racing, I'm going to watch him because he is an athletic marvel who will urinate straight through a cup when we give it to him because he's on so many drugs.
But that's what is this metaphor referring to again?
The television show Good Talk. Okay. You know what I mean? That like by the end of it, you'll have seen like the full body of work. You know, you see one episode, it's enjoyable to watch an episode. You put them all back to back to back to back to back to back. And it just becomes wondrous. It becomes wonderful, a whole new thing. So I think the more people see it, the more people will appreciate it as a whole. And that was one of the notes we got. And then we got another note. Last week, Erica played a Usher song, and I chastised you in the moment. I was like, why are we doing this? We're not allowed. I don't know why you thought we were allowed after a year.
Yeah.
And I found out Greg made you do it. I asked Greg the same question. And Jeremy, the new Dar Frank, reincarnated.
The executive in charge of this podcast at Comedy Central.
Jeremy said, Anthony's 100% right. You are not allowed to use that music. It's bad. And if you get sued, you guys get sued. Or actually, I get sued. My company gets sued since I pay you. So,
I mean, what are the you really think Usher is going to go nuts about a 7-second clip? We won't do it again.
I don't think Usher will, but I can see the label doing it sometime. And I just don't understand why take the risk for an Usher song. It wasn't like we were like, oh, we've got some new Your Old Droog. I got to play you some. It was like, let's take a look back into the Wayback Machine and see what Usher's been up to.
It was an answer to a question, and it was the right answer. And the question was, what song would bring the people from all over the land, the homeless people, into 7-Eleven? The answer was Usher.
No, the answer was Nomad by Jeremy Renner. And you just guessed wrong, and in a way that could cost me a fortune.
All right.
So no more of that.
Let's listen to some house music then.
And that was To Begin Any Notes. You know what? That was more Usher. All right. That was one of Usher's early singles. I remember the video. He's dancing on the beach. It's clearly green screen, but it wasn't a bad video. But again, Erica, just stop playing Usher.
Sorry.
I feel like there's been a lot written about the R. Kelly situation over the last couple of years, but not much has been said of how good it's been for Usher. You know what I mean? He won kind of in the end. You know what I mean?
I honestly don't know much about Usher's music. But I just remember there was like a video that goes around every once in a while. You see it. It's like a meme where it's just a close-up of Usher. And it just he just looks at right into the camera and goes, Happy Easter, Xbox. And I don't know what it's for. Like, it's clearly some corporate thing they like made him do. And it's like some Xbox event where he says that. But him just saying, Happy Easter, Xbox, like his big smile is just always cracks me up. And now I want to take it down to a little place there where music laws don't apply. You know, a little place where health isn't important.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You just kind of get through it. Where showing up late to work isn't a punishable offense. It's called Erica's Corner.
You're not
Erica Tamposi is our wonderful producer, a friend. We care about her. We like her. We try to save her from herself when we can. And we like to let her carve out a couple minutes out of our own podcast, out of the Justin Lick and Rosenthal Vanity Project, JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
Get on the stick, Greg, and let her take her own little time for an Erica's Corner. So, Erica, what do you have for us this week?
All right. I apologize in advance for my voice. But, Anthony, this is a question, and Greg, from me, actually. So with two awesome Good Talk episodes out now, Anthony, who would be your dream guest, dead or alive? And Greg, who's your dream guest that you would love to see Anthony interview in a situation like that?
You know, that's a good question for me. There were a lot of guests this year that I could not get. That, you know, we had 2 weeks to film 6 episodes, and some people just couldn't fit that those 2 weeks into the schedule. John Mulaney, you know, was working on something. Ali Wong was doing a movie. Eric Andre was doing a movie. Those are all people that Whitney Cummings was doing a movie. Those are all guests that I would I will ask immediately for season two, should it happen. And if you're listening to Comedy Central, it will happen. Season two of Good Talk will happen.
I mean, just imagine what this podcast is going to be like if it's not picked up.
And I expect it to be announced before the show has run its course, before the 6 episodes are up. Give people a reason to tune in. That's what HBO does. They renew things like a week after they air, so everyone gets invested. And I think the network would be fools not to do that. But I also think it's foolish to have a doorknob that doesn't work. So what do I know?
I mean, this is the topic that's kind of gotten your energy.
But
between the two of you, we gotta pump this
but
up.
But dream
here.
Guests, dream guests. Sarah Silverman is someone that I idolize to the point that I'm like a weirdo around her, I would love to have her on the show.
But you guys are pretty good friends, aren't you?
We're friends. We're not pretty good friends. We've worked together. We know each other. We have lunch together sometimes, just the two of us. You know, we're like friends in that way. But there are just questions I would love to ask her. And, you know, a lot of the comedians I have, I ask them questions that I truly want to know why they do it that way. And she's someone I would love to be able to get information from. She's one of them. Mel Brooks,
ooh,
I think, would be fantastic. I love his energy. He's got such great stories. And I would love his philosophy on comedy and how it's evolved. And then if you're going with somebody dead, I'd love to talk to George Carlin. I would love to find out what kind of pushed him to do like an hour every 2 years. You know, if it was really tax problems or he just loved comedy that much, what he did or didn't like, what he thought of his audience. I would love to get to know the real George Carlin, you know, not the guy that that everyone, all the good George Carlin fans know. So those would be my dream guests. Greg, who would you like to see on the show?
I mean, the first person that came to mind was Norm Macdonald. Now, I know you've worked with him and he's someone maybe it's like never meet your heroes. I don't really know, but I still think it'd be a fascinating and bizarre interview between the two of you, no matter what the dynamic is.
It certainly would. It would be fascinating and bizarre. I don't know if it would be good.
Who is that?
Norm Macdonald.
Yeah. Oh.
I don't know who he is. He's one of the greatest comedians of all time. He was a judge on Last Comic Standing. We kind of butted heads a little bit, even though he's one of my idols.
He was the host of Weekend Update on Saturday Night Live, which a lot of people, you know, myself included, like he was my favorite Weekend Update host.
Yeah, people
ever.
Loved him. He got fired. But I don't know. He had a show kind of like Good Talk on Netflix that got canceled pretty quickly that I don't know if he'd want to, you know,
right,
go and be.
And unfortunately, that's where my mind went, was like not what would be good for you or what you would enjoy, but what would be like weird, bizarre TV that I'd like you to joust with. Like Louis C.K. came to mind. I mean,
I would love to have Louis on. But I like being out of my comfort zone, especially on that TV show. Like Kristen Shaw was so perfect because she pushed me back on things.
Right.
Nick and Kroll and I were just laughing about everything, which is fun. But I like when people challenge me and throw it back because it keeps me active and entertained. Louis would be a great one. I thought about one of the original ideas I had for the show was to see if Louis would come and be a guest and run a disclaimer before it that says we taped it before the scandal. And then it's like clear, it's like obviously not, but we just don't mention the scandal at all. But then I was like, he's not gonna do that.
Dane Cook would be another totally bizarre, but
that'd be crazy,
fascinating one. I know you're raising
possible.
Your eyes.
No, I'm like, ooh, that would be very interesting. I just don't know how respectful I could be if I would be a good host.
Right, like, but like, why do you have to be that respectful? I mean, respectful is a weird word. If you guys
like, if
are
coming
entertaining.
On my show, sure, but I'd have to start out with like some kind of like I'm not having you on to like roast you.
Yeah,
like there was one comic who I look up to that I couldn't have on this season because I was like, I can't. They had a tragedy in their life, and I was like, I'll start laughing about it. Like I will just start cracking up, and it's like clear that I can't talk about it, and that'll make it even worse. That like I need to get some reps under my belt before I can talk to this guy because I would just be like too mean.
I have too many people I'm listing here, but the last one would be Chris Rock, who I know. Really appreciates your humor and is obviously one of the funniest people alive, and I would like to watch that dynamic.
He was a guy I would love to have him on. He was a guy we asked, and Chris and I are friends. You know, I toured with him for a little over a month. We've been all around the world together, spend a lot of time together, get along great. And he said, you know, I love Anthony, but I'm just not doing any press right now. I assume he was like filming a movie or filming Fargo or something. That hopefully season two, maybe we can get him, but I don't know. But I'd love to have him and Seinfeld on at some point. Hopefully they see the show and they like it, and And we'll get better and better guests. And then we'll get, you know, hopefully we'll get out of comedians. We'll get some actors, some musicians, you know, maybe even like someone who doesn't mean anything at all to anyone, like Erica. And that was Erica's Corner. Shine on, you crazy diamond. Actually, before we hit the music, what guest would you want to see on Good Talk?
I thought the opposite when me and Greg were talking about it, and he was like, you know, Chris Rock or these people that he would be so, it would be so interesting. I was like, well, what about someone that would like totally kind of irk you like that? Like, I would love to see you go against someone like an interview, like Ellen DeGeneres, like to see you roast her in a smart, intelligent way, and just to see a person like that that would be hilarious to me.
I don't think that I think Ellen and I would get along better than you would think.
Of yeah. course, but I'm saying for
if
your...
If I was on her show, it might be weird. If she was on my show, I think it would be a little more like comic to comic.
Yeah.
But there are comics who would certainly irk me, and I would like to I'd like to have those people on. Eventually, we'll have to have someone on who I do not want to talk to.
Right.
And that will be interesting.
I would be interested to see that.
Yeah. And that was Erica's Corner. Shine on, you crazy diamond.
What a...
How many times do I have to tell you not to play Usher?
Sorry.
Okay. When Usher and Shaggy put out that song, I know it's technically Shaggy featuring Usher. It's still an Usher song,
Shaggy,
that I don't want to pay for.
Remember that whole like album that he did, Usher and Shaggy, won a Grammy.
You're kidding.
No?
You're kidding.
I am kidding.
Okay.
let's start our news today with a little comedy, more comedy talk, comedy heavy episode. Shane Gillis was fired by Saturday Night Live this week before he ever even appeared on the show. The 31-year-old comedian was announced as one of the new actors on the show, featured players on the show, but some racist routines, I guess, some racist comments that he made on podcasts kind of came out after he was announced as one of the members of the show, and Saturday Night Live, after a social media outcry, fired him.
Yeah, it was a social media outcry, and also there have been social media outcries about other performers before, and they've gotten through. It's like, stay off Twitter for a few months, you'll be fine.
How are you still standing?
Because I'm not on SNL.
Yeah, that's
but true. But if I were, those tweets would come back. But this happens every year. I think his apology was really bad. That, like, I don't know if you heard in the beginning of the podcast, Greg and Eric and I talking about going to Chinatown for food. That's what got him into trouble, because he was not able to talk about having lunch in Chinatown without dropping several racial slurs and doing, like, basically the worst comedy I've ever heard. You know, I mean, just not even that offensive so much or stereotypical as just, like, hacky and stupid. That I think if his apology had been like, hey, that's the worst joke I've ever done, I'm so sorry, you guys, I was just screwing on my podcast, like, please don't judge me on that, I think he may have been okay. But him being like, you know what, sometimes you got to take chances, and I'm not going to apologize for taking a chance of doing a Chinese accent. You're like, get out of my face. And so I tweeted, as someone who enjoys these things, I tweeted, I truly enjoy the annual tradition of trying to destroy a new SNL performer on the happiest day of their life, all right? This is like an hour after they announce he's going to be on. He's so happy, and then all this comes down. I meant in that tweet that I truly enjoy
right.
watching this. And every single person who commented on my Twitter is like, I can't believe you have this guy's back. I can't believe you're like standing up for this guy. And there's a lot of comics who are like, let's get rid of cancel culture. This is ridiculous that he's being kicked off for what are jokes. The joke thing doesn't matter here. There's such bad jokes.
Right.
It's not like he's a psychopath who's just like doing hate crimes on the air. He's just not that good. And he looks like someone I would never, ever defend. He looks like all the things he's accused of doing.
Right. He looks like a guy who commits hate crimes.
He looks like a guy who was, they were like, hey, do you want to dress up like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man for Halloween? And he got sick of it halfway through and was like, you know what? I don't need the costume. I'm just going to go like this. So I'm not like, I don't think this is like a loss for comedy. I don't think this is a loss for anything. I think it might be a good thing in the long run that comedians do less of this. But people clearly hated him in Philadelphia, claimed he was a racist and a jerk. And, I mean, this was ready to go. It wasn't like they searched his tweets. Someone was waiting to put out this video of him doing the podcast. I'm just annoyed, and I don't explain my jokes on Twitter. If you don't get it, you don't get it. But to think that I'm backing him up when I'm literally saying how much I'm enjoying watching this happen to him is ridiculous. So
the statement he made on Instagram was terrible.
Yeah, the statement, the defense was terrible, and then his statement back of I'm not going to be on the show, no hard feelings, I'm a mad TV guy anyway.
That's the worst context. It's ridiculous. So he goes, it feels ridiculous for comedians to be making serious public statements, but here we are. I'm a comedian who was funny enough to get to SNL. That can't be taken away. Of course I wanted an opportunity to prove myself at SNL, but I understand it would be too much of a distraction. I respect the decision they made. I'm honestly grateful for the opportunity. I was always a mad TV guy anyway.
Yeah, they can never take it away from me. They took it away from you. Like I don't understand what happens to this guy now. I know people who've been on SNL for 1 year and then they have great careers. You look at Sarah Silverman, you know what I mean? He didn't do anything on SNL and then I was like amazing. And then there are people like Brooks Whelan, who you like hear every now and again. You're like, oh yeah, they were on SNL for a year. I don't think this guy does anything. I don't know what, I don't know who rallies around him or supports
him. Everyone that supported him, and I saw a few people on Twitter, clearly didn't actually listen to the material that he did. They were just like, hey, comedians have to be truth tellers, and you're not gonna get to the funny without, you know, hurting a few people's feelings. And there's no way they actually listened to the podcast or anything that he was saying, because none of it wasn't just that it wasn't funny, it was just pointless.
I'm the edgiest, most offensive comic in maybe in the history of the genre once all is said and done. You know what I mean? It's not my place to say that, but I'm definitely top five. I'm definitely up there. There's an argument to be made that I am the most offensive and everything that people are saying this guy stands for. Never in my life would I do a fake Chinese accent to make fun of my waiter or use a racial slur on a podcast or anywhere else.
Or keep referring to using the racial slur later in the podcast as like, that was the best joke I made the whole podcast.
Yeah, it's like you're not that. Like the humor offends me more than the actual content of it, so I have no problem with this guy not getting the job. And again, it's not like he was going to be president, and now we're losing out on something great. It's like he's just a guy. He's just one of those generic white guys they hire every year, never gets on the air. At the end of the year, they're gone. So this is no loss. Just please do not think that I support him in any way. I feel like every week on this podcast, I've got to come on and clarify some remark I've made in the press or on Twitter. But like everyone, every single comment on this tweet is like, why would you defend him? And every person I know is like, no, I totally got what you were saying. So maybe my sarcasm button is broken, but so is everything else in this fucking studio.
Our next story on the podcast, Anthony complains about the studio and writes his Twitter wrongs, is about a woman who swallowed her engagement ring while sleepwalking. You don't really need that much more to the story than that. California woman, Jenna Evans, who often sleepwalks, thought she had a dream about swallowing her 2.4 carat diamond. And then she woke up and she realized she actually did.
Now, how long have they been married?
I mean, they haven't been. They were engaged.
They just got engaged. She thought she had a dream they were being robbed, and she had to swallow it to keep the robbers from getting it, which is understandable. I can kind of see that. Greg, is 2.5 bigger or smaller than what you got?
No idea.
Who knows? I don't know anything about diamond rings, but I don't know if that's good or bad.
It looks similar. I didn't mess around. It's insane what people spend on diamond rings now that I think of it. The only reason she got a great-looking diamond ring was that the company I worked for, Roto World, was sold to NBC, and they gave me some money in cash, and I spent it all on that diamond ring.
That's the only reason she got something?
I mean, otherwise I didn't have any money. I certainly didn't have a lot of money to just like fork over on a huge diamond ring, but I figured it was like kismet. You know?
I'm always jealous of people who have like, oh, this is my grandmother's diamond ring. Oh. It's like a family heirloom, and it's like, you don't have to spend jack. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, my mom wants to give my daughter that, you know, eventually.
Like, aww. Why not? But why, I don't understand why guys don't just say that this was like a family heirloom. Like, get an old ring and be like, this was a family heirloom, and then give it to them, and they'll be thrilled. Like, I remember once I went to give a lover a dozen roses for Valentine's Day, and I accidentally hit a dozen carnations. And I called them. I was like, "Did you get the roses?" And they were like, "Roses? Like, why do you keep saying roses? We got carnations." And I was like, "The company screwed up." And I like call 1-800-flowers.com, and they're like, "No, you clicked carnations." And I was like, "Oh, I was wondering why it was so cheap." And then I just called. I called back, and I was like, oh, "They're not giving." They said they messed up, but it's too late now to fix it. And I was like, "This was brilliant. I just saved like $100 by claiming that the company got the wrong flowers." So do that whenever you can. My favorite thing about this story is the woman. I mean, she has to go to the hospital and have it cut out. She can't pass it. So she can't just, like, I would have been like, "I'm just going to wait a couple days and then tell you about this."
I mean, she could have. She chose not to.
I heard it would have been dangerous. I assumed, like, the diamond would have, like, cut her up. But I just want to know, like, when she woke up and told her husband, her fiancé, was her fiancé like,
"What?
I can't believe I'm marrying the dumbest bitch of all time." Like, imagine someone waking you up and being like, "I just swallowed all my jewelry. I had a dream and I swallowed all my jewelry, honey. Wake up." How would you just be like, "What? You just, what?" Like, there's always that thing about, oh, women will get mad at you for something that happens in a dream. You're like, "Yeah, okay, yeah, that stuff happens." But if your wife woke you up and was like, "I just ate all the jewelry. I just ate all our jewelry. You got to take me to the hospital." Would you be like, "What the hell's wrong with you?"
Yeah.
Like, you need to go see somebody?
I feel like she would be the same type of wife that would then get the surgery and post all the x-rays of her ring inside of her like rib cage on Instagram and then do interviews about it with NBC7 San Diego.
I mean, it is a crazy story.
It's crazy.
Right, but like
also,
why, if I would be maybe embarrassed and not wanting to put my medical, my rib cage out there for the world to see.
I think it's like people like wouldn't believe her because it's so goddamn stupid. Maybe even the husband was like, the fiance was like, "You've got to put out the x-rays. Because no one's going to believe that I would marry such a goddamn idiot."
I always find it interesting, like, sleepwalking is accepted sort of as a normal part of, like, oh yeah, I sleepwalk, I do this or that. She says sometimes when she sleepwalks, she does laundry. I mean, that's fucking insane. I think we should be a little more concerned about these sleepwalkers in general. Like, they're a danger. Like, what is happening here that you could be possessed where you're in a sleep state and doing things that you don't even know about? Like, that doesn't seem okay to me.
I think it's pretty okay. I mean, if all you're doing, if you're a housewife and all you do when you go to sleep is you fucking eat diamonds and do laundry, that's fucking mom of the year shit. You know what I mean? You just bossed up. You got them bloody shoes. You're fucking Cardi B if you're eating diamonds and doing laundry while you sleep. All right? I just lay there with my eyes closed, eating nothing.
We're like bloody shits. Take that out.
No.
That was. And again, just because it's a remix doesn't mean it's not an Usher remix. Stop playing Usher.
Okay, I won't.
Our final story comes from the sporting world. I feel like we haven't had many sports news, items this year, but we couldn't resist talking about an 80-year-old Italian soccer pundit. This guy's a former player, Luciano Passerani, who got into some hot water this week by saying the only way to stop a soccer player that's in their Serie A, their top level soccer league, Romelu Lukaku, is to feed him 10 bananas before the game. The soccer player, of course, is black.
Yeah, he was trying to, I mean, he was clearly talking this guy up. The analyst loves the player, but he's very old. Bananas, of course, in soccer, it's like the most racist thing you can do is throw a banana on the field. A lot of soccer players to protest this will eat the banana. They'll pick up the banana and eat it and throw the peel on the ground. That's like one of the ways
it's crazy
you.
That it's that common that
oh my god, people in Europe are so racist, and some of the best players are black. And and I just thought the thing that was funny to me about this is like, What's the most bananas you've ever eaten at once?
Two, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Greg?
I love bananas. Maybe, yeah, two.
I love
three.
Bananas. I love them. But after two, I couldn't imagine eating another one. That, like, if we all ate 10 bananas and then had to do the podcast, like, would it be worse? Like, could you do anything? Is it like, would it just be like a deal breaker? Is it like Paul Newman eating 50 eggs and cool
him
loop.
I mean, you don't might need to get to 10. I think 5 bananas might be enough to slow you down.
But you got potassium. You know, you digest it easily. I bet almost too easily. Maybe half time's not that comfortable for you. But I would think that that just like I like that he wanted to be racist, but he wanted to show his respect.
Right, so he was racist in like the most complimentary way. He spent 30 seconds before making the comment talking up this guy about how he basically would be unstoppable. But it reminds me of kind of just in general a rule that the American sports media has for the most part, which is like keep your 80-year-olds off the air.
Yeah, like the last one was like Jimmy the Greek. I remember Jimmy the Greek, Norm MacDonald always laugh about it, that he got fired for saying something racist, but everyone called him Jimmy the Greek. Like he said something. But like the fact that this guy clearly loves his athlete, was praising him so much, but is so, an 80-year-old Italian man is going to be racist. And that's just, I'm sorry. If you're an Italian American listening to this podcast, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about like off the boat, like Italian people who don't speak English are so racist.
Well, I mean, he literally was old enough to fight a war for it. So it's not out of bounds.
But I just think
it's encouraged. It's part of the culture.
As a people, they are racist. If you've ever seen like a mobster movie, they're throwing the N-bomb around like crazy. They even shot Samuel L. Jackson in Goodfellas. Right? That's unheard of. You know how racist you have to be to shoot Samuel L. Jackson?
What about
pretty racist. But I just like that he also wanted to compliment him by saying 10 bananas. Like, if he had been like, the only way you can stop him is by feeding him golden bananas. Bananas made of pure gold, which is what he deserves as one of the greatest African soccer players in the world. I like old people being accidentally racist. Mm. He will never be on TV again, correct?
It sounds like he was fired from that job. I can't imagine there's going to be like a heavy market for his services. But I would be worried out there. The Oakland Raiders did hire Brent Musburger, who just turned 80. That could be the magic age.
I don't know.
Getting in trouble. And he's walked up to the line of it.
Oh, his last game was when he was just defending the college guy accused of rape. Like, and then when people complained, he like went back at them. I mean, Musburger's lost it. Musburger's 10 bananas deep for sure. I just don't know what
to say
about.
All right, no more songs, and I won't.
I don't know what to say about not play music, but play music from the Comedy Central library, not Usher's greatest hits, which is what you've been doing this whole time.
Yep, sorry.
It's all right. You know why it's all right? Because now it's time to take it down to
choo choo
recommendation station. Greg, what do you got for me this week?
I'm gonna recommend Last Chance U season 3 and 4. Now, so if you're not familiar with the show, it's a reality show. You're looking unimpressed with this.
I watched the first season, and then the second season I could not get into at all, and I haven't watched it since.
That's fine.
But I hear 3 and 4 are great.
They start in one college for 1 and 2. You can just skip those. They were great, too. But I would start with season 3, which it's the same college, the same group for 2 years. It's following a junior college football team, junior college football players. At this level are generally really great players that were at a great school and something in their life, you know, set them back, whether it's legal problems or school, generally school. They're going to junior college to try to get their career back on track. And I mean it. Season 4 was one of, if not the most like affecting, amazing documentary reality show seasons I've ever seen, because part of it is about reality television. They get so famous relatively off of season 1 that when you come back for the next year, everyone's head is totally ruined. Like they're full of themselves. The coach is full of themselves. They sort of lose track of who they are. And a lot of it is because of the television show. And there's a couple episodes in it, like the second episode, which is about a player named Bobby Bruce. You could never write a fictional show about a sports team that would like have half the drama or half the emotion in it that this thing does. So even if you don't like football, I think people would like it. But if you like football at all, yeah, I think you'd love Last Chance U.
Last Chance U season 3 and 4, especially on Netflix right now. I'm going to go ahead and recommend a book. I'm gonna write. It came out like a month or so ago. It got a lot of high praise, and I agree with them. It's called The Memory Police by Yoko Ogawa. It's a book about an unnamed island where. It's like a satire of fascism where the memory police start coming and people just start forgetting things. Like one day you'll wake up and you just won't know that microphones exist anymore and they're just gone.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Or one day you wake up and your phone is gone and things keep disappearing. And if you try to hold on to them, hold on to the memories or keep them somewhere, the memory police come and take you. It's definitely a very thin satire, but it's beautifully written. And just a heartbreaking novel that I really enjoyed. Just finished it today. So if you get a chance, check out The Memory Police by Yoko Ogawa.
And I wrote
Erica,
it down.
Would you?
Wow, you wrote down a book.
I did. I just wrote it down.
Did you ever finish Conversations with Friends?
I did. I read the whole book.
Remember you promised to finish it by the end of last season, and then we never circled back around, but you totally didn't finish it by the end of last season.
But I finished it before this season, so that's cool.
What about that one that was like, how to be awesome?
I didn't finish it, as you can tell. I'm going to recommend this week an album by Banks, and her new album is called Three. It's like three Roman numerals. Keep it quick. It's super alternative R&B. I think, Greg, it's totally into your sort of like shows that you would go see by yourself type thing. And Pitchfork called it her best album to date.
What's that? How do you say her name?
Banks. B-A-N-K-S.
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, it's like one of those alternative sort of R&B. It definitely has a Mitski sort of vibe that's a little darker. But I think you'd like it. Anthony, I think you might too, actually. It's a little bit, it's off the beaten path. But she opened up for the weekend, and that sort of like put her on the map, which is kind of a bummer.
I'll check it out. Thank you, Erica. Thank you, Greg. Thank you to me, Comedy Central. Fix your studio. There's garbage in here. Somebody left like a half a box of Sudafed.
I mean, you think you're going to walk in
and see that someone was sick and just left half their medicine in here? Like, clean up every once in a while. Clean up and make sure that like things plug into other things and that this just works. I know there's only a couple different podcasts, but again, we are the crown jewel, and I want to sparkle. And now, Erica, sign us out of here.
Whoa, Nelly Furtado, that's a spicy meatball.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.